Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your weekly dose of GBA Temp news. You are listening to the Tempcast. Today, I'm joined by GBA Temp's official lawyer, Eric Zander Esquire.
That's me. Thank you. Although, from now on, you have to refer to me as Juris Dr. Eric Zander Esquire the First, but we'll work on it.
I don't think that's going to happen, but whatever. And also, GBA Temp regular Steven.
Yeah, that's right. And we've been some big weeks on the Tempcast this week. Eric became a lawyer, and my house got flooded with water, and now I'm recording in my friend's basement. So we're all doing pretty good. We're all moving up in the world.
Nice.
And you know who I am. I'm the good old Alan John. Nothing's changed with me. I'm just the Alan John.
Even Steven. Steady as a rock.
Even Steven. Wasn't that like a show with Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, it was a fun one. I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
Was that Shia LaBeouf? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was Shia LaBeouf as a little baby child.
That's crazy.
I watched that, and I also watched the one with Lizzie McGuire. That was pretty cool. I had a big crush on Hilary Duff back in the day.
You're not the only one.
Yeah.
Good taste. So, I want to remind you guys, you're listening to the official GBA 10 podcast, and we're starting off this week with some actual legit hacking news, which is insane. We haven't had that in quite a while. And this one's big, it seems. So, PS4 firmware 7.55 has been, basically cracked open like a nut. Because The Flow, yes, that's right, the legendary The Flow, has found an exploit in this firmware version. But, unfortunately, it seems it was found all the way back in June 2020. And was just disclosed today because The Flow was working with Sony's HackerOne bounty program. So I don't think this current version of the PS4 firmware is 7.55.
No, we're all the way up into an 8-point-something.
Yeah, but this is still big news probably for those people who somehow forgot to update their PS4 in the past year or so. So this might actually be useful. Probably especially useful, maybe some kind of retail units exist in stock somewhere, unopened with that firmware version. So yeah, this is going to be interesting.
Well, I would say that it's probably very likely that any PlayStation 4, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I'd think that because we're only on, I think it's like 8.3 right now, it shouldn't be at all hard to find a 7.55 firmware one. Luckily, unlike, you know, the earlier exploits where you needed a very far back firmware, like a 5-point-something.
5.05, I believe.
Yeah, 5.05. Those were marked way up on eBay, like, because you had to market it that way. I think for now, you could probably go on Facebook Marketplace and just find some dude who is selling his PS4, and it's likely going to be on this firmware if he hasn't touched it for a little bit. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm reading a post by an official Sony USA representative in our forum, who's just named Sony USA, and he or she claims that this has been patched in 8.0, which means that theoretically speaking, anything under 8.0 should be exploitable. So if there's like a 7.9, 7.8, that should also still work for this exploit. Now this exploit, what it does, the HackerOne page says that this vulnerability can cause a fully changed remote attack when used with a WebKit exploit. What that means, I don't know, but what I'm hearing is shocking. You can use this to steal or manipulate user data. And even, and this is the scariest part, the most terrifying one, is run pirated games. That's insane. Wow.
Or dump your games so that other people can then pirate them.
Yeah.
Or dump your own games that you bought so that you can use them yourself and not, you know, not share them with everybody because that's illegal and we don't, you know, want that to happen on GBA Temp or nothing. But, you know, I'm just standing over here.
I also think what's really, really shocking and terrifying, like my cold sweat ran down my back when I read this, is that certain games will need to be on a certain firmware in order to run. And a lot of games that need a firmware that isn't covered by this exploit would be like The Last of Us 2 could run on a firmware that isn't patched for this exploit yet, or Ghost of Tsushima, or plenty of big games from the last year or so.
I don't even think that they could play Spider-Man, or maybe it's just the Miles Morales, but I thought the original Spider-Man also requires something higher than 7.55.
Does it? Because, I mean, I'm not sure.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, yeah. Well, at least...
Because that would be all the way back in 2018. So that would
okay, you're right. Miles Morales, that's what I read. It's that one requires a higher firmware.
Yeah, because Miles Morales only like just came out.
Yeah.
I just fact-checked it. Last of Us Part 2 needs 7.5, so it wouldn't be covered by this. And that came out in June, so I'd say anything prior to that would probably be safe. Or no, that came out in July, didn't it? Last of Us. So yeah, sorry. I just wanted some actual definitive answer on that.
Now that this generation is coming to an end, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of these things pop up. You know, it's reminiscent of like the PS2, the PS3. Once the PS3 came out, a lot of PS2 hacking stuff unsurfaced. You know, even recently we had this exploit where now you can basically just burn PS2 games on a disc and run it on an unmodded system on a PS2, which is fantastic. Now, I think there are mod chips for the PS3, which can allow you to do anything there, even without like a lower firmware version, I suppose. Might be wrong on that. But I think we're going to be seeing the same for the PS4, because this is a console that has sold a lot of units worldwide. So there's going to be a good used market for used PS4s once people start upgrading gradually to PS5s. So yeah, the PS4 is going to be like, maybe this is going to be in 10 years that people are going to buy and then hack instantly by just running something through a web browser on it. And then, you know, playing Spider-Man Miles Morales on it with mods and stuff like that. So, yeah, I see that happening in the near future. I think we'll have that by 2030.
I noticed on the thread that several people are annoyed over the fact that The Flow found this and then reported it to Sony and before, you know, telling everybody else about it, which I just think is a stupid thing to be mad about.
I would like to read a post from a guy under the name Can I Has Wares, which I believe the answer is no. But his post says, another potential end-of-life exploit ruined. I hope he enjoyed his good boy pats on the head from Sony.
It's like, okay, he didn't have to release it to us at all. I mean, like, you find it, you get paid for it. Like, are we supposed to hate him for that? Apparently we are. Going back to Sony USA's comment when she said that patched in 8.0 supposedly, so anything under 8.0 should be exploitable now. That's interesting because the fact that this says 7.55, did the firmware go from 7.55 to 8, or was there something in between that?
I believe it did. I'm trying to find a list of the firmwares here, actually.
Yeah, because if this was the one right before 8.0, then of course it'd be 7.55 and earlier. I mean,
it went from, yeah, it did. 7.55 to 8.
Damn, okay, so that makes sense. All right, so no new info there. But yeah, I mean, I didn't really read the entire thread because there's like 100 posts, but you know, just right off the front, just lots of people are like, why did he tell Sony? Why didn't he just give it to us?
Why didn't he just move to the Dominican Republic and then, you know, share us this exploit that would get patched within a couple of days?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like, why didn't he just, he should have made I guess it wouldn't be a cart. He should have just made a tool that would have us do it and then sell it to us from the Dominican Republic. And then, yeah.
Do people expect hackers to risk their lives, especially after everything that has happened in the past 6 months with Nintendo versus hackers? Do they think people are going to risk it? No.
Especially since The Flow has been around since the early Vita days, if not earlier, right? So, I mean, it's not as if he hasn't given plenty to the community for free. And he's also been doing this with Sony for a while. I know this isn't the first time he's made use of their hacker bounty program, but like, well, first of all, no, he doesn't owe anybody anything, but he also has a history of giving things to the community freely.
Yeah, I would consider him, I don't think he's done anything wrong. You know, if I was him, which clearly I have nowhere near as smart as being able to do that is like,
I think you're protesting a little bit too much there. If I was him, which I'm totally not,
you know, but I'm the Alexander, not the Flo. But yeah, no, like I would tell Sony about it, get that money, and then never tell anybody else. Cause it's like, why am I even going to risk it? You know, it's like, he has nothing to gain from releasing it to the community.
No, he doesn't really gain anything, which is why it's interesting that he still did it. Cause like we were saying, there are plenty of people that can get that 7.55 firmware relatively easily and still make hacks based off of it.
Yeah.
There should be, I was looking for it. I saw links to places that have all of Sony's old firmwares uploaded, because those are public files. I don't believe there's anything wrong with having them. But none of the links I found were working. I don't know if that's just a problem for me right now, because no one else is reporting that they're not working. Mm. But you hypothetically, there should be a way to like wipe your system and move it to a certain firmware, if I'm not totally crazy.
I think downgrading is a more involved process than just doing that.
Okay.
I don't think doing a factory reset will reset.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're definitely right. Cut that out, Alan John, so I don't sound as f***ing dumb as I am.
While you're at it, you might as well cut the part where I say Spider-Man is on the wrong one. So yeah, thank you, Alan John. You always make us look way more competent than we really are.
That's why we had to record early this week for Alan John to fix all of our fucking idiocy.
That's true.
You needed the extra time.
That is true. Now, before I go into our next topic, which is huge, I want to address some of the things that happened last episode. We have a couple of updates. Now, first update is the DSiWare games on the 3DS eShops. They have been reinstated, most of them that went away, I suppose, from last time I heard. So it supposedly was indeed some kind of Y2K bug that removed all the games with the beginning of the new year. So Steven was actually right somehow.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I lucked into it.
Wow.
Right.
No, give yourself more credit than that. You fucking nailed it.
This is like in detective stories. So there's always one stupid person on the team and they accidentally get right once in the story. And everyone's like, oh my God.
Steven, you're a rogue cop. You broke all the rules. You endangered us all, but God damn it, you're the best damn detective on the force. Here's your gun and badge back. Welcome back.
Thank God. Yeah, I wasn't going to be on the show this week if those games hadn't been relisted. I was given my headset and Discord login back.
Okay, and also a very minor update. Sires M actually responded to our podcast in the thread, and it turns out it's pronounced Sires M. I think. Oh God, if I got that wrong again, that would be humiliating.
Oh my God. Oh,
no. I still think it's Skarism, so I think he's wrong. It's like the dude who says that it's pronounced GIF instead of GIF. It's like, I think that you're wrong. And Pluto is a planet.
Yeah, the guy that invented GIFs say that it's GIFs, isn't it?
Didn't yeah.
He? Yeah, he's obviously exactly. Wrong. Exactly.
Yeah, username's root is Sires M, but it isn't a usable username character in most places. Sire is pronounced with S-C, just like S, like I ends with er. What? The I, like I, ends in er.
You do not have to go into this much detail. It's just Sires M.
A lot of detail. It's Sires M, and there's supposed to be an apostrophe indicating the possessive. That's where the S comes from. But
I'd like to apologize that formally to Sires M. Like, I really didn't mean to. I was legitimately confused because I'm a stupid boy just like everybody else on this podcast.
Should we give the dictionary definition of sire just to fully...
Isn't sire written like S-I-R-E?
That's a different sire. Sire with an S, according to Merriam-Webster, is a judicial writ founded on some matter of record or requiring the party proceeded against to show cause why the record should not be enforced, annulled, or vacated. Let's f***ing skip. This is going on way too long.
Like, this is why half of the world is going to be speaking Chinese in 20 years, because this kind of bullshit with the two words sounding the same, it's not going to, you know, not going to say.
Language, no doubt.
Speaking of things that aren't going to stay, EA's contract with Star Wars supposedly, it seems, has ended or is going to end very soon.
Well, their exclusivity contract has ended.
Yes.
So, because they still will be making Star Wars games in the future.
Yes.
So, basically what happened here is, back in the, I believe it started either in the late 80s or early 90s, Lucasfilm had a gaming division called LucasArts. Originally, it was called Lucasfilm Games, then it became LucasArts. And they made a lot of really popular point-and-click adventure games on PC back in the day, like Maniac Mansion, Day of the Tentacle. There were some Indiana Jones games, stuff like that. I believe they did the Monkey Island series as well.
They did, yeah.
And they kind of fell into disrepair near the end of the 90s, early 2000s. They were shut down, or they may have only been shut down when Disney bought Lucasfilm, but they were inactive for a long time one way or another, and people were hoping Disney would bring them back, but instead they gave EA an exclusive license to make Star Wars game. It's also mentioning LucasArts never made Star Wars games because there was another exclusivity deal back in the day. That's why they had to make original stuff like, you know, Maniac Mansion. Either way, that exclusivity contract that Disney made with EA seems to be ending, because a whole bunch of new Lucasfilm properties have been announced to be getting new games from other studios now, and Disney has announced that Lucasfilm Games as a label is coming back.
Nice.
So there's been a couple of new announcements lately. There's going to be new Indiana Jones games from Machine Games, who made the new Wolfenstein games for Bethesda, which I guess would mean that it's being worked on by a Microsoft studio at this point. So
yeah.
Who knows, that may or may not end up being an exclusive. Ubisoft is working on an open world Star Wars game, and EA is still making Star Wars games, but there hasn't been any specific details. I would say likely we're looking at a Battlefront 3 and a Rogue Squadrons 2. Is that what it was called? Rogue Squadrons? What was that new one they did? Or was it just Squadrons?
I thought it was Rogue Squadrons.
I think Squadrons.
Oh,
yeah, something like that.
So, yeah, this is quite interesting. We haven't had an Indiana Jones game other than those stupid Lego games in quite a while, right? I think the last one was Indiana Jones and something of Atlantis, right?
Yeah, it would have been the point-and-click LucasArts ones,
no,
I believe.
No? No, I'm talking about a full third-person action game. I remember that clearly existing. Yeah, it was really cool.
Oh, really? I never heard of that one. You know when it was? Like, what system it was on?
PC, definitely.
Maybe you're thinking of Imbiamba Jambis.
What?
What? Oh, never mind.
Indiana Jones, Atlantis, and the Fate of Atlantis. Yes, it was a game that was released in 1992. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that is a point-and-click game. Wait.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was done by LucasArts. This is exactly what we were talking about.
But what about Lego Indiana Jones 2, The Adventure Continues? Oh, published by LucasArts. Interesting.
What about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull on BlackBerry?
there was a game in 2009 that was actually... Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings. Huh. Maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
Oh, I've never heard of this one.
There was one in 2011, Indiana Jones Adventure World for Facebook.
Ooh,
yeah, that's a classic.
We're all on the same Indiana Jones wiki page right now, I'm guessing.
We are, actually.
Let's not just list off shitty fucking Indiana Jones games nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah. The Facebook adventure game, though, it looks sort of like those like mobile video game ads, like, this level's impossible, can you do it? And it's like, yeah, I can do it. Wow, whoever's playing this ad's stupid. I'm gonna download the game and beat this level just to prove the advertisement wrong. And I fell for it.
Holy crap. I think the wiki page for this Facebook mobile game is like 20,000 words. This is the longest page I've ever seen anything.
I didn't even pay attention to that.
Looking at this?
Yeah. It's like, wow, there's more information about the Indiana Jones Adventure World than there is on the planet Earth.
Yeah, seriously, guys, go to the wiki page and look that shit up. It is unreal. I just put it into a word counter. It's nearly 9,000 words.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. All right. Let's stop getting distracted.
What we know is that there was actually a lot of Indiana Jones games. Staff of the Kings, Staff of... Oh, that's the same thing. There's a different cover art.
Staff of the Kings and Staff of the Kings.
Emperor's Tomb.
There's one called Staff of the Kings.
There's one called Emperor's Tomb. There's one called The Tablet of Madness. What is that, like a glitchy iPad or something?
Hey, brum, 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 brum.
Yeah, but I don't count those Lego games as real games. I'm sorry, I don't like them at all.
Oh, okay. That's weird because I assume that the Lego Indiana Jones games were actually way better than most of these other Indiana Jones games.
Yeah, but they're Lego games.
Of course, excluding the Facebook one. The Facebook one's probably the best, but... Well, you don't like Lego? Okay, we don't have to talk about this, but the Lego games are not that bad.
We won't, because it's a fact.
We won't. Right?
There's nothing to discuss.
Yeah, it's a fact that you're fucking wrong, okay? So, yeah.
Like, oh, look, I'm a Lego.
Get off my podcast.
It's like Indiana Jones, but it's Lego. Wow, this is so funny.
It was.
Oh my God, look, it's Star Wars, but it's not Star Wars. It's Lego Star Wars, and it's funny.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, and that's why it's great, and that's why you're stupid.
So Machine Games is making a new Indiana Jones games. I'm looking at the list of games developed by Machine Games here. They've literally worked on nothing. Yeah, nothing but Wolfenstein and a Quake game in 2016.
Was it Quake Live?
And it's Quake Dimension of the Past. I don't know what that is.
What?
Oh, it was a mission pack released for the original Quake to celebrate its 20th anniversary.
Okay, so I have actually some history with Machine Games because I reviewed one of their games actually for GBA Temp, and it was an official review, mind you.
Ooh, which one was it?
Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Oh.
So, Wolfenstein The New Order, that was a good game. A really good Wolfenstein game. I really liked it. The Old Blood, haven't played it. New Colossus, even though criticized by many, I really enjoyed it. Youngblood was a terrible, terrible clusterfuck of a game, which shouldn't exist. It should probably be converted into some kind of DLC mission or something. It probably started out like that, but then just sprawled into its own game, which it shouldn't have because it's bad. Very bad, and I hope that the next Wolfenstein game doesn't have anything in common with it. But I don't know how they're going to approach Indiana Jones. They usually develop first-person games with a lot of, you know, they're really good at first-person, fast-paced gameplay. Like, they're really good at that. Adventure games and stuff like that, I don't know if that translates as well. Because what I expect from an Indiana Jones isn't like Wolfenstein. I expect something like Uncharted, you know?
Well, Nathan Drake does kill a lot of people, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he doesn't blow
up heads, you know, with dynamite.
Right. That's fair.
The thing is, they kind of downplay how many people Nathan Drake actually does kill in the games. They just sort of brush past it. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Indiana Jones kills relatively few people, though. So I feel like that comparison doesn't even really... So I haven't played any of Machine Games games. Do they're, like... Tonally, does the tone of any of their stuff fit at all? Like, I know,
no.
Like, is no, like, so what do you think this game is? This going to be a total departure for them?
Yeah, I don't see Indiana Jones working as a first person game. I don't see like Indiana Jones holding a shotgun and, you know, shooting Nazis, even though, oh, that's what they have in common, actually, because in Wolfenstein,
yeah, that's a good point. That's why they were chosen.
Yeah,
I mean, that's interesting, I guess, yeah. But I mean, other than that, like, yeah, because it has to be so light in tone. It's very pulpy and like, you know.
The tone isn't what's bothering me at all because tone, you know, that's easy to change. But gameplay.
Well, it depends. I mean, if they're bringing, you know, if that's the story people they have on, don't do that tone of story. But like, yeah, gameplay also. I mean, first person adventuring doesn't really work. Traditionally it hasn't, unless I'm wrong. But like, I mean, Mirror's Edge, I guess, would be the closest thing. So, but it's unlikely they'll be doing anything like that. It'll probably be a third-person action game, closer to Uncharted.
Like, all of these LucasArts announcements, at the same time, they bring a smile to my face because finally, games from other developers other than EA that gave us what in the past 10 years? Battlefront 2 and Fallen Order. That's it. Two games.
And Squadrons.
And Squadrons. I haven't played Squadrons, though.
I've heard good things about it.
Okay, that's good. Well,
I haven't played it either, though.
Two and a half games.
I wonder how people are going to look at the EA era because they, for those 10 years, they gave us Battlefront 1 and 2 and then those other two games. They canceled a lot of games people were really excited about, including 1313. But I think Battlefront 2 is generally well-liked now after all the updates, and people seem to like Fallen Order and Squadron. So the EA era kind of ended on a positive note. So I wonder if people end up being a little bit kinder to EA now, at least in terms of their Star Wars games.
I'm still on the bandwagon of not liking
Battlefront 2?
I almost said Battlefield. Yeah, no, Battlefront 2.
How much Battlefront 2 have you played?
None.
Well, then you can't say you don't like it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm on the bandwagon of just deciding to hate it. Also, I hate No Man's Sky. Never played it, and I heard that it's really good now, but fuck it. Just because. Also, they did Galaxy of Heroes, EA did, and some of my friends are like hella addicted to it, and I watched it, and I'm like, oh, this isn't for me. It's a mobile game, so, and it's a mobile EA game, so you can imagine how much money they've sank into it.
I think the other thing we're talking about is the Ubisoft open world game, because Ubisoft is obviously very well known for their open world games, but they're also well known for them being kind of samey. Like, I haven't played a lot of them, so I can't speak from personal experience, but I know what people throw at them is that all their games end up feeling kind of similar, like similar kind of open world, littered with a bunch of different collectibles and submissions that can get a little repetitive. You have to climb towers to reveal parts of the map, a lot of stuff like that. And Star Wars is such a unique property with such an established world that it might be a shame to see it get kind of worn down to that type of gameplay style that's already familiar from so many other properties.
Ubisoft has been in recent years, and well, actually I say this, but I haven't really played a Ubisoft game recently. Most of my experience was in the older Assassin's Creed games, which I stopped after 3, but apparently they've been innovating more on that formula. They haven't been relying on it quite as much as they used to, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's a safe bet because, you know, those old Assassin's Creed games aren't bad. They're just kind of samey. So,
okay.
Yeah, they're probably just sticking. I mean, they're innovating and trying to be less safe than they have been. So, I don't know. I'm just throwing something out there that maybe this isn't going to be remake of or like a reskin of an Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, well, it definitely they have to do something because they've never had anything that exists on that scale before. Like, presumably you'll be able to go to different planets and, you know, stuff like that. I can't think of anything they have in terms of an open world game. I know they have like that Starlink thing, but in terms of their typical open world stuff, nothing that really exists on that level.
So I realized that on this podcast, we sort of don't talk about CD Projekt Red very often. I know that Alan John keeps wanting to, and you know, we're only about 30 something minutes in. So you know what? Go ahead, Alan John, say your piece, say everything that you want to say about CDPR right now.
I watched the Angry Joe review and you know, it wasn't as good as our review, to be honest, on GBA Temp. Which you can watch on the official GBA Temp YouTube. Search for Cyberpunk 2077 GBA Temp review on YouTube. It's the official GBA Temp review by our Steven.
Yeah, except no imitators. There's a lot of people trying to steal my identity out there. They're pretending to be me.
It's Steven with a PH, okay?
Yeah. So check that out. But it seems that CD Projekt Red is actually continuing to get legal trouble. Let me just open this link in our topic so I can actually read what I'm talking about, because I have no idea what's going on anymore, because I honestly do not care. So yeah, somebody is suing this. It's being investigated by Poland's Office of Competition and Consumer Protection, also known as UOKiK. And why is this? Oh, because it's in Polish. Okay. Yeah, they're being sued, I suppose, for releasing a bad game. Because you can't do that. That's against the law. You can't release a game and it's bad. What the hell?
Basically, it's more to do with it considered, like, with Sony removing it, it's considered non-functional or a broken product, which is obviously different than just being a bad game. So that's what they're being investigated for. And they're also facing a class action lawsuit from some of their investors, because CD Projekt's management wasn't as upfront as they should have been about how the game was virtually unplayable on consoles. And that's a quote from the suit, that virtually unplayable.
All of this just to release a game in the end of your fiscal year, just to report some profits, all of that. Well, congratulations, CDPR. You got what you deserved.
I feel a little bit for... I mean, I don't want to say I feel for them, because they put themselves in this situation through forcing crunch and bad management and all this other shit. But like, if you read, I read a transcript of one of their investor calls back in October when the final delay happened, and the investors were putting a ton of pressure on them to release this game before the end of the year. Otherwise, you know, they would lose a bunch of money. But, fuck, who's calling me? Sorry. They were putting a bunch of pressure on them to release this game before the end of the year. Otherwise they'd be losing a lot of money. And,
if they had tried to delay it again, I don't know how receptive to that the investors would have been. And for them to now get sued because of it, it's like, I don't know. The management CDPR definitely fucked up, but so have the investors. Like, I assume most of these investors are people that don't necessarily understand the industry. They're in it for the money. So,
for those of you at home, Steven just got a call from his landlord saying that his house is on fire, but he doesn't care because he's determined to record this podcast today. That's wow. Gotta give it
God
to
damn
him.
Right.
I was about to say,
yeah, you guys didn't hear this, but while we were recording last week, my house was in the middle of being flooded, and Alan John had to edit out people trying to fix the problem while I talked about the fucking Y2K bug.
Yeah, I was about to say, Steven, like, you guys don't realize this, but Steven is such a professional that his house was flooding. There was screaming in the background, and just like the musicians of the Titanic, because it was literally flooding, he continues with the podcast. We're like, Steven, do you got to go? And he's like, no, we got to keep going. And he just got a call and he's just ignored it. I mean, just like everybody, if you're listening, like, give Steven props because he's doing this for you. His house is destroyed.
I know. I had to, I kicked my friend out of his house so I could record in peace.
Yep.
So let's appreciate it. Steven's more dedicated to this podcast than the developers of CD Projekt Red were to make, or of Cyberpunk 2077 were to making the good game.
CD Projekt Red's main guy, who's in the memes, like, this was him during the development of Witcher 1, this is him during the development of Witcher 2 and Witcher 3, and then now Cyberpunk, he's got that 1,000-yard stare in his eyes. He's seen some bad shit go down and he's like, okay, well sorry, because COVID, yeah, you know, very bad for development. And yeah, we try our best. Please do not blame the talented developers at CD Projekt Red. I don't know why I have a Russian accent, even though I am Polish. But thank you for understanding. We will try to fix the game, and thank you.
Yeah, that's definitely something that should be emphasized. People getting mad at developers and stuff. Don't blame developer. Don't blame QA testers, who are usually like the most underpaid and the most overworked people on any team, and like, they might find bugs that don't get fixed. Like, blame the management for this mess.
Yeah, and I realized that I literally did just blame the developers, but that was just so that I could make a bit about Steven being dedicated to the project. I think I think that CD Projekt Red's I think their developers are fine. It's totally a management thing. So let me rephrase my joke. Steven's more dedicated to this podcast than the managers were to making Cyberpunk 2077 a good game. There we go.
Nailed it. That's the cleaned up version.
Yeah, now I don't have to
version of that joke.
Now I don't have to get yelled at. I love the developers. I love all of the developers. They weren't paid well, and they worked really hard to make a horrible game that I've never played. I'm on the bandwagon of like Steven reviewed it, and Alan John won't stop bitching about it. I'm like, yeah, f*** this game.
I gave it a good review. I gave it a 7.
Yeah, it's a great good. Game.
Yeah,
when
Breath of the Wild.
Rocking two 3090s. Like you, Steven, playing with RTX on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, you know, one of those 3090s recently got flooded out, so I won't be able to play it anymore.
Yeah, you'll just get half the FPS. You're going to get 30. So.
Going to go all the way down to 240 FPS, half of what I was getting from my 2 3090. They also released a statement from CD Projekt's co-founder, whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay. Yes.
That was the video I was talking about, Steven.
Yeah, no, I kind of thought it was, but I wasn't. But I wanted to. I was going to try and get into the actual thing, and then I forgot you'd already talked about it. So you were all dumb.
Yeah, so CD Projekt Red is actually in legal trouble. So they're being sued by some Polish shit. Have you heard of them? This is amazing.
What's your keek? What's your UO keek?
Oh, that's too old of a reference, like, no, Steven. You shouldn't make that because, yeah, anything that's older than 10 years, no. Only new stuff.
Mm. Oh, behave, Alan John. Let me make my joke. so they laid out a roadmap. Well, at first they gave kind of a half-assed apology for their for the game coming out all f***ed up. And like, I wrote the news story on this and I was staying as factual and impartial as I could, but I really wanted to call out how kind of shitty their apology was, because like, they explained what went wrong in development and that's fine, but they also, one of, they have like a little Q&A thing. One of the questions was, didn't you test old gen consoles to keep tabs on the experience? And their answer is, we did, but our testing did not show many of the crashes you experienced. As we got closer to launch, we saw significant improvements, and we really believed we'd deliver in the final day zero update. So basically, their answer is basically just like, oh yeah, totally. Like, I just don't understand the point in answering these questions if you're going to give such a half-baked, nothing answer. Like, why was there a gap between PC and console reviews? And they're basically, it's basically the same thing. They're like, well, we were trying to get it good, and then we sent out keys the day before launch. So, like, you know, we sent them out before. We gave people lots of time to review the console version of, a fucking 90-hour RPG on console. Like, it just, yeah, I don't know. And then someone else, or not someone else, because they wrote this Q&A, but, like, another question is, are you making the team crunch to work on the patches? And they said, there's no obligatory overtime. Avoiding crunch on all of our future projects is one of our top priorities. Oh. So they're not definitively saying they won't crunch anymore, which they did in the past and then ended up crunching. They're saying it's a priority, which is such like weak sauce language that, again, it doesn't mean anything, because as soon as they start crunching, they'll be like, oh, well, it was a priority, but we couldn't do it, which is basically just what they did last time. So I don't know why they bother trying to address the point of crunch again.
It's a non-answer, yeah.
This statement was fucking really stupid, and it I didn't like it.
Do you guys remember that episode of South Park where BP, the oil company, made another oil spill, and then they did like a half-assed apology video where they're like, oh, I'm sorry, and then they changed their name from BP to DP because of what they were doing to the earth? More like CDPR needs to change the name to CDPR.
Oh, damn. What up, son?
Oh, God.
And also, amazingly, Cyberpunk has kind of been delayed again, even though it's already out, because the next-gen version was supposed to be released in quarter one of 2021. It's been pushed back to the second half, and the free DLCs have also been pushed back. And there's no mention of the multiplayer update. I assume that's included as free DLCs. But there was no specific mention of the multiplayer update.
I'm so tired of this game.
I know. It's crazy. I think it's funny that Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be released in the second back half of 2021 along with GTA 5 again. They were probably both announced at the same time.
I'm just so tired.
You sound more tired than when we recorded at 2 a.m. that one time.
I'm always tired when we're talking about Cyberpunk. Like, can we just be done with it? Can CDPR, if they just come out and say, dude, guys, we fucked up. Sorry, just forget about it. Here's refunds. We're done. That would have been so much better. Just forget about the game forever. Leave it alone.
They could do what Hello Games did. Hello Games went into lockdown when they were fixing their game. Like, they were radio silent for months, if not a year or so. Like,
yeah. And then they came back and they fixed their game. So that's what CDPR should have done. Instead, they're like every single week, there's something about Cyberpunk and we have to talk about it. And it's like, and then they come up and like, hey, guys, we don't have an update for you, but listen, we're planning some big updates. Just release them when they're ready, right? What's the point of that video?
Well, the difference,
like, you're not apologizing. You're just like saying, oh, we're sorry.
Oh, the land that my house used to be on exploded. There you go on.
I'm just done. Let's talk about the small things. All right. Hogwarts Legacy.
Steven's phone just rang again. And he hung up.
What'd you say?
Moving on.
You leave all this shit in. This is good. Fuck it. Leave it in. Okay. Hogwarts Legacy was delayed.
Yeah, so
are you guys still there?
So yeah, we're still here. We would let you take the call, but whatever. So yeah, Hogwarts Legacy was delayed, which is a little annoying. You know, not very unexpected. At least they at least they say that it's going to be next year, and they're not saying, "Oh yeah, it's been delayed a couple weeks." You know,
and then in a couple weeks they'll delay it again and again. Yeah,
yeah. They need more time to work on it. That kind of happens when you announce a game right before a new console generation comes out. Have you noticed that happens sometimes?
Well, they announced it at the PS5 event, so I wonder if it was ever intended for anything but the new console generation. Probably not, right?
Yeah, I don't know what to think about this game really, because there's like I'm a Harry Potter fan, but I don't know. Like I like the idea of, you know, an open world Harry Potter game, but the fact that you start in your fourth year, that just kind of takes it out of me, you know. I just let me do the whole experience. give me the 7 years of Hogwarts, damn it. Let me go to like certain places, you know. But hopefully it's a good game. I don't know what to expect. Are you guys particularly bothered about the delay?
I don't care.
Not really. I think it's smart to delay it a full year and then, you know, like you were saying, not have to put up with so many questions. And they gave it a vague release of 2022, so that could be the end of 2022. They probably, like, I don't know. I wish companies were better about not announcing things until they're more sure of what they're doing. But who knows? Maybe Sony wanted a big announcement at the PS5 event, so they paid Warner Brothers for that announcement. Or, you know, I guess certain publicly traded companies might need stuff to help improve their stock situations. I don't know. Like, maybe that's why they announce, why they tend to announce things so early. Like, I feel like the only company that doesn't usually have to do massive delays are Nintendo. And the few times that they do announce things early and you only get like a vague logo is something like Metroid Prime 4, which has been a fucking disaster for them to announce early. But like 9 times out of 10, when they announce something, it has a release date within 6 months and they hit it. So I don't know. It just seems like more companies should be able to run off that Nintendo method of not announcing until they're really ready and they're really confident about when it'll be out.
Yep, I agree. Like, yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. Let's move on.
I'm glad there's no discourse here.
Yeah, fuck the discourse. Speaking of Nintendo, usually hitting release dates, hopefully they'll hit that release date for the new Pokemon Snap, which is coming out April 30th.
Nice.
Did you guys play the old Pokemon Snap? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, sure did.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's a great game. If anyone hasn't played it, it's basically, it's like an on-rails kind of thing where you ride around on a camera, or you ride around with a camera to various like locales where there's a bunch of Pokemon, and you got to take pictures of certain ones doing certain things to get points and to move on to the next level. And sometimes you'll have to do things like, you know, if you take a picture of like a Magneton doing something, he'll freak out and go and like hit a wall, and then that'll open up, so then you can go to a new part of the level, and you kind of have to do, there's these little puzzle solving elements. It's a really cool game. It came out on the N64 in 99, I believe, and people have been waiting for a sequel to that for ages, so I'm actually really excited this is coming out. I think they can probably do some cool stuff with all the new Pokemon they've had over the years.
Yeah, I think so too. Hopefully they'll put more models of Pokemon that they don't have models for on the Switch yet in it, and then they can switch it over.
That's true. I never thought of that. Yeah. I wonder if we'll only be limited to the Sword and Shield ones.
Well, so I'll mention this briefly because it hasn't been verified yet, but Central Pokemon Leaks, who have, you know, announced several leaks before that actually came to fruition. They sort of leaked early information about Pokemon Sword and Shield and then about the DLCs for those games. They've confirmed that Pokemon Diamond and Pokemon Pearl are coming to Nintendo Switch this year. So those would be pretty good remakes. You know, people have been wanting them to be remade for a long time.
It's definitely worth emphasizing that they are not Game Freak or Nintendo. So them confirming something really doesn't mean anything to the rest of us.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's why it's like, I don't know how, you know, accurate this is. It's just,
but it's worth
cool to talk about, or at least theorize, because you'd think Nintendo would want to do that. If they remake Diamond and Pearl and put it on the Switch, you'd think that they would have to have all of the Sinnoh Pokemon involved in it.
Oh, no,
which
no.
Would mean that they would... they're like, no, you can. There's no Dialga. You only have Palkia, and you only get to choose between two starters. You could have... I don't even know what their names are.
So how do the Pokemon remakes usually work? Because like, so in the middle of the third gen, they remade the first games. So when they remake the first games, do they include all the new Pokemon up to Gen 3, or do they only include the Pokemon that existed at that time?
So here's how they work. So this is how it worked for Fire Red, Leaf Green, and for Soul Silver and Heart Gold. So basically, in the game code, there are the Pokemon, because when you're doing trading and stuff, and they're all intercompatible with, you know... Fire Red was compatible with Ruby with trading, so you could trade third gen Pokemon with first gen Pokemon when they were on the GBA. Same thing with the DS games in the fourth gen. So, yeah. But usually in the post game, that's when like Pokemon from other generations appear. So in Fire Red, you had to complete the entire story, and then a new area opens up where you can find second and third gen Pokemon. Not all of them, though, because there actually isn't any Pokemon game where you can catch all of the Pokemon that are in the Pokédex. Because, exactly. I know. It blows your mind.
Because you need to trade between versions.
That's exactly what you had to
do. But there are some that are better than others. Like Emerald was better in terms of the amount of Pokemon that you can catch than Ruby or Sapphire were.
Not in terms of second gen.
Oh, yeah. Well, in terms of second gen, during the Game Boy era, the only real decent way to get second gen Pokemon were to play Colosseum and XD and purify them and then transfer them over, which I did before my brother deleted my fucking save file.
Hey, Eric's brother, anyway, if you're listening to this, go fuck yourself.
Well, he's our producer, as we established a few weeks ago.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And he was helping Eric set up the recording. Oh, that wasn't on the show. Cut that shit out. I'm not giving away our personal before the show. I want people to think we only talk on mic. Like, we never have a single conversation not recorded.
Yeah, exactly.
That's,
we don't.
That's the canon of the show.
These guys aren't really my friends. They're just sort of my work colleagues.
Eric tried to ask me what I do for a living before we started, and I told him to go fuck himself. And that's not a joke. That actually happened.
I was just trying to make small talk, so we're talking about Diamond and Pearl, the possibility that they'll be remade. Now I'm going to take it a step further. If Diamond and Pearl are remade, will Platinum also be remade?
No.
Well, actually, now that I say that out loud, I think no, because Soul Silver and Heart Gold were remade, but Crystal wasn't. So,
and Yellow
they
wasn't.
Never remake the third game. Well, they never do that.
Yeah, you're right. They don't.
Christ, Eric.
Yeah, your Pokemon knowledge. Sorry. Disappointing for a GBA temp contributor.
Whatever. I got almost all the Pokemon on Pokemon Go, so you can go yourself.
The only Pokemon game I've ever played was Yellow, and I played it when I was 8, I believe. Even I knew that, though, Eric. So I just want to show off that I had better Pokemon knowledge than Eric. Hey, while we're talking about Pokemon Snap, which we aren't, I was going to say this before Eric moved on. I want to give a really quick shout out to a game called Cellular Harvest that I played, which is kind of like a Pokemon Snap game, but with aliens, and you walk around and take pictures of fucked up weird aliens. I just wanted to say that real quick. Go on, Alan John.
That sounds really stupid, Steven. Go on, Alan John.
Yeah, Steven. No, it's fine.
Eric,
it's
that's fine. Mean. Eric. Eric, you're a lawyer. You can't say that to me. I can only call you stupid because you're accomplished and successful. That's why I need to keep it a secret from you. How fucking successful I am.
Fuck ton of money. So going back to Diamond and Pearl, this is going to be a podcast question of the week. Am I the only one who doesn't want to see a Diamond and Pearl remake from Game Freak? Because lately, Game Freak has been releasing, let's just say, disappointing games from what I've seen and from what I've heard. Sword and Shield do not look compelling to me at all. Now, when Diamond and Pearl came out on the DS, that was when I decided, oh, Mom, Dad, please get me a DS. Have you seen this? Look at Diamond and Pearl. Look, the houses, they're in 3D. This is amazing. And the sprites are moving. Oh, well, they actually always move, I think. They started moving in Gen 5. But anyways, Gen 4, that's when I wanted to buy a DS. 3DS? Yeah, kind of. Like, oh, wow, now they're actually in full 3D. This is amazing. But Sword and Shield, I don't want to buy a Switch just for those games. Like, they're not system sellers to me. They don't compel me. They don't look good. They look like 3DS games, honestly. And if Diamond and Pearl are going to be based on the same engine, which they probably will be, I'm not looking forward to that. I think they should just wait until they create a proper engine for the Switch. Something like the Let's Go engine. That looks a lot better than whatever Sword and Shield is using. I don't know how.
Devil's Advocate, we spoke about this on our Game of the Year podcast when we spoke about Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. The Tony Hawk license had kind of gone down the toilet for a long time, and Tony Hawk 5 really killed it. And then 1 and 2 was a good excuse to remake something beloved and to show that they were still able to get the core of the game down and the look and the feel and all this. before hopefully they'll move on to new projects and actually make good Tony Hawk games again, do you think a Diamond and Pearl remake could be Game Freak's way of remaking something beloved to show that they can recapture the basics of Pokemon and make it look and play good on the Switch? Or do you just have no confidence in them anymore?
I don't have any confidence in them. They're probably too busy making, what's that other game that they're making? It's not Pokemon.
Little Town Hero? Didn't that come out last year?
It's already out? Okay.
That came out like over a year ago, I think.
All right. No, I didn't know that.
Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
I appreciate the fact that you were willing to play devil's advocate there, even though technically you're not licensed to be an advocate for anybody. But if I, using my authority, could play devil's advocate as well, I would say, I guess it's a little different because of the fact that, Crash Bandicoot games, the original three were really good, and then they started to lose their way. And I guess Spyro too. Actually, probably Spyro more than Crash got really shitty after a while. But then they remade them and sort of revived that interest in the series. But I think they were remade by different people.
But Pokemon isn't dead.
No, I'm talking about they made good games, then bad games, and then good games again. So,
So basically the same thing I said with Tony Hawk.
Yes, but you aren't licensed to advocate for the devil.
I understand. I got it. Well, the devil's not going to follow the rules.
Exactly. Well, his attorney does.
No, that's fair.
Okay, we're ending it right here. Thank you guys so much for listening to this weekly episode of the Tempcast.
Wait a minute. Before we do that, can I legit want to talk about how Eric chose to spend the week with a broken finger before he became a lawyer. Eric, can you tell us what your week has been like?
I played 6 video games in 4 days because I wanted the first game to play that I play after becoming an attorney to be Ace Attorney Trilogy.
And I just want to point out, Eric saying that he played 6 games, he means he 100% and platinumed them.
Yeah, I bum-rushed 6 games so that I could then play Ace Attorney and have the platinum trophy for that game be my 4,500th trophy. It's kind of, yeah, I had hella OCD. And
unreal. You planned out the number of trophies each game has so that the platinum for Phoenix Wright would be your 4,500.
Yeah, so I wasn't allowed to play Ace Attorney until I became a lawyer. But that had to be the first game that I played as a lawyer, which means before I became a lawyer, I had to have 31 trophies less than 4,500 trophies. And in order to do that, I had to play these 6 particular games, which had a certain amount of trophies each. And
I had to do it with
a broken finger.
So that severely limited the number of games you could choose.
Yeah, I could only really play visual novels. And you know how I feel? I feel empty. I feel empty inside.
How was that? Did you have to push yourself to the limit? Like, were you denying yourself bathroom breaks or meals to get that done in time?
No, but I was denying myself sleep, yes.
All right, good. I just wanted to check that real quick. Now I don't have to feel so bad for being a failure in the eyes of the lawyer to be a
So anyway, hey, who said that lawyers have to have lives? Nobody, actually. Nobody said that, but lawyers definitely don't. So okay. That's the Tempcast.
Alan John's very sleepy.
He's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
Steven, are you drunk?
Oh, man, buddy, I got fucking wasted for the pod today.
Oh, of course. Steven's the least professional.
I am that, buddy. Oh, I'm sitting here, I'm rubbing my big beer belly. Wow, yeah.
Okay, that's the Tempcast, everybody. We love you. Download Raid Shadow Legends and stuff. And ExpressVPN is our sponsor today.
No, they're not.
You guys need to manscape. Wait, what's it called? Don't visit those websites, please. Yeah, let's do it. No. All right, I will duck, duck, go away now.
Oh, my God.